Praise the Lord. Amen. My name is Marty from Chicago. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm here for the building up. Amen. So hopefully I can speak a little encouragement, some consolation, but mostly just building up. Amen. Well, you know, this session all week, we've been talking about the God-ordained way. I don't know if you ever considered this even the subject. Why do we say God? Why do we say ordained? And why do we say way? Okay? First of all, it's not man's. Not man's way. A lot of people, a lot of believers are taking their own way to build up the church. We don't want to take that way. All right? And we've been seeing in the evenings, man's way usually ends up with some leaven, some corruption, some degradation, all kinds of things. We want to take God's way. Amen. And he ordained. It means he set. He laid out in the Bible a scriptural way that believers should take in order to serve him and in order to meet together and to build up the church. Okay? So we should take God's way. Amen. God's ordained way. Right? And it's a way, it's a practice. Right? We're human beings. We're living on the earth. And we want to take his ordained way. Well, I just like to do a little quick review before we get going on prophesying. And I don't know if you've ever seen this before. I'm sure many of you have. You could use four initials, okay? Use the word BNPB, okay? BNPB, okay? It's a little acronym, I guess you could say. Okay, what is this? This is begetting, begetting. This is nourishing. This is perfecting. This is building. Okay? You can write the words in. Okay, what is B? Okay. Actually, this goes quite a parallel with the human life. Okay? Let's tell you a little story. My daughter just had a baby. Praise the Lord. I'm a grandpa once again. Okay? What comes first in the human life? Well, first of all, you got to be begotten. Right. Right? You have to be born. Right. If you're going to have a human life and live a human life, the first step is you have to be born. Right. Okay? Once you're born, what's your second need? Right away. Right. You need nourishment. In fact, my wife right now is out with my daughter, spending a little time with her. And my granddaughter, and my wife told me the baby needs feeding like about 7 times a day. Whoa. You know, just need to feed that baby. That's just about all that there is. Just feeding and changing diapers and feeding and changing diapers. And it's just a matter of nourishing. Babies, newborns need nourishment. Okay, but if you get nourishment, you begin to grow physically, humanly. You get to begin to grow. But what is the next thing in human life is you need some education. Could you imagine if somebody, and this, I guess, happens once in a while, somebody gets born, their parents start feeding them, but they never send them to school. And they don't homeschool them. They don't educate them. You could say this person is going to grow up very abnormal. Okay, you could say, why? Aren't they strong? Aren't they healthy? Aren't they physically look okay? Yeah. But they need some perfecting. You need some education. Right? We all know that. You all know that. You're all in school. Okay? But there is such thing. Some people get called this a perpetual student. You know what a perpetual student is? One who just loves to go to school forever. Okay? Well, sad story is, you have to graduate one of these days. And once you graduate, once you get an education, you finish your education, guess what? You have to start building. Okay, we don't use that typical term in our human life that much, but you have to start contributing to society with what you've learned, right? If you develop some skill, I studied accounting in school, and when I graduated, I had to go to an office and sit down at a desk and with a calculator and go to it. Okay, I had to do what I was trained to do. Okay, and you can say everyone in society, if they're working, if they're contributing, they are building up the society. Actually, Watchman Nee's got a very good portion on this in one of his books. He talks about how all of us as believers, we should be contributing members of society, right? We should get a good education, and then we should contribute to society, right? Build up. Okay, that's on the human side, but we're not here just for the human life. We're here for the Christian life, and it's the same way, okay? We need to beget. Okay, we not only we ourselves are born again, born of God, but we need to bring others to be born again. Okay, I got married at a certain point in time. In fact, I don't like to tell too many, but I guess I will. I got married. Most of you sitting here are older than I was when I got married. I got married when I was 20 years old. Okay, but after a while, you know, 4 or 5 years go by. There's something missing. Okay, you can have a wonderful marriage life, but eventually you want to have children. You want to have a propagation, an increase. Okay, so if you're a Christian, you might be enjoying your Christian life. You might be enjoying your spirit and all we're talking about here this week. You're enjoying the Word. You're enjoying the living God. You're enjoying everything. But I can guarantee you, if you are not begetting, you are not going to be totally satisfied. Okay? So your Christian life has to become meaningful, right? It's not all about you. It's not all about how wonderful your Christian life is. It's not. Okay? You can have the most perfect, wonderful, spiritual, knowledgeable, mature Christian life. You're still not going to be satisfied. Because we were meant to beget. Amen. To beget children. Okay, so I just like to put a little word here. Okay, you got the word beget. But in order to beget, do you know what? Just like we experienced here a little bit this week, you have to go. You have to go. And go is not just a matter of going at the college training, right? Or going once a year when we get together like this. It's wonderful, but we need to learn how to go in our Christian life, in our daily life, in our campus life. We have to go. We have to go to others, whether it's going to the person right next to you in your class or whether it's one day you just get with another brother and say, let's go. Let's just take some tracks and go. Preach the gospel. Do you know, you can read biographies, Christian biographies, about believers who have gone all over the face of this earth. Okay? I'm reading one right now about a brother who went to China from England. You know how long it took? It took him 7 months just to get there. Just to get there. Okay? He went. Okay. Well, today you can fly from Chicago to China in about 15 hours. Okay? But, you know what, sometimes believers get all stirred up to go, I'm going to go to China, I'm going to go to Japan, I'm going to go preach the gospel in Africa, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. But you ask me to go, hey, why don't you go to your classmates? Oh, I don't think so. Yeah. It's sometimes easier to go far, far away. than to go to, how about your own physical brother? You know? How about people you know? How about the people that live right next door to you? Right? We need to go. Okay? So you should ask yourself, I like to ask you, do you go in your Christian life? Do you sow seeds? Do you give out any tracts? Right? Or do you just do it here when you come to the college training? Right? You need to go. Right? You should be uncomfortable not going. Right? In Haggai, it said, the people just stayed in their sealed up houses. Right? They just stayed at home all the time. Anyway, we got to go. All right, then. Once you go, let's say you lead someone to the Lord, then what? You should visit. You should visit them. If my daughter had a baby and brought the baby home and told the little baby, look it, I want you to learn. I got my own schedule, you know. Breakfast is at 8 o'clock. Lunch is at noon. Dinner is at 6. Okay? This baby just, Okay? No, you just got to go. You got to feed people. You got to nourish them. I just like to give you a quick testimony. When I first got saved, some brothers came to me. I was living in a dormitory. I was a freshman in college. Some brothers preached the gospel to me. Then guess what they did? They came to visit me. They didn't have to travel over the whole earth. You know what they had to do? They had to come down the hallway to my room in the dorm. Very similar to this dorm. I was telling the brothers, it's been a long time since I stayed in the dorm. But actually, it's very similar. I was staying in a dorm room. These brothers, I found out there was like 6 or 7 brothers living on the same floor in the same dormitory. You know what they did? They came down. I didn't know you're supposed to get up in the morning and pray. I didn't know you're supposed to read the Bible. I didn't even have a Bible. Okay? Guess what they did? They gave me a Bible. They told me, you know, Christians, we get up in the morning, we have a little time to pray before we go to classes. I said, oh, that's nice. That's pretty good. So they came down and they started praying with me in the morning. And basically their praying was like a little feeding. Okay? They nourished me. Okay? And they started getting me into these little Bible studies. And they said, where is Christ? And you look up the verse, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I thought, wow, Christ is on the outside. He wants to come in. Then John 1:12, as many as received him, to those become the children of God. These brothers showed me that those verses. I didn't know the Bible. Anyway, we need to visit the ones we beget. Okay, then what? Next thing is perfecting. We need to gather in groups. We should gather the ones that we're touching with the Lord. Gather them in the homes of the saints. Call them up. You know, ask them, hey, how about you want to come over and have some dinner and we're going to sing a little bit and read the Bible? It's very enjoyable. Gather them. Gather them. Okay. And in the gathering, we can begin to teach them the truth. Help them learn to know the Lord, to know the Bible. Okay. Now, here's our problem. Begetting is wonderful. But begetting is not the end. Once you beget somebody, you got to nourish them. You can't leave them to die. Right? You got to feed them. Okay, if you have a baby and you don't feed them, that's a crime. Okay? So, you feed them, you nourish them, then eventually you got to send your kids to school. You have to. Okay? You have to gather them together, teach them the truth. Okay, now, most of us, we stop here and we think, this is the God-ordained way. This is all I need to do. Man, if I'm going out and preaching the gospel and getting people saved, and I go and visit them once in a while and I bring them to a group meeting, whew, that's pretty good. Yeah. right? That's great. But actually, that is not the end. And that is not the goal. Okay? In fact, if you're not practicing this one, you are missing the whole purpose, the whole goal. In fact, you can just about cross this whole thing off if you are missing this. What is this? What does B stand for? The goal is building. Okay? I think Benjamin reminded us this week that verse in Matthew 16, the Lord said, I will what?
Build.
I will build my church. Okay, listen. The Lord is not, okay, you can go out and preach the gospel and get people saved, and it's wonderful. And you can read about different people in church history who've done that and really got to become evangelists and go preach the gospel and get people saved and even maybe raise them up, become disciples and nourish them, feed them, and gather them together in homes and all that. But that is not the goal. And some of you, I believe, are not clear what the goal is. Okay? You know what? The goal is not your campus club. It's not. Okay? We're here for you to have a good campus club, but that's not the goal, okay? The goal is not Christians on campus or Christian students or whatever you call your club. That is not the goal, okay? The goal is not for you to go run around, preach the gospel everywhere and get people saved and feed them and all that. For what? What are you doing this for? The Lord is building the church. And we should align ourselves. Lord, I want to be for what you are for. You are building the church. Okay, how does the Lord build the church? He doesn't do it directly, but he does it indirectly, and it involves us, and that is through prophesying. Okay, so you can see all these we talked about the other day. We need to be living and active. Okay, how do you know? Yesterday in our small group, we were talking about how do you know if you have a name, you are living? Okay, you could say you're in the church life, I'm a living brother. But I never go preach the gospel. I don't visit anybody. I just like to stay at home by myself. Group meetings, well, I guess I'll go once in a while, you know. And church meetings, I don't know. Okay, you could say you're not living. You might have a name, you're living. Living means you are active, practicing the Christian life. Okay? Living means, are you living? Do you ever go out, preach the gospel? Do you ever go nourish anybody, visit anybody? Do you gather together? Do you gather ones with you? Okay? But even though it's not the end, the end is here. The end is, what are we doing this for? We are here for the building up of the church. Okay? You look at all those letters we've been reading. It's not to the Christian club that meets in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's not to the Christians at UIC. You know, it's not to the Christians at UIUC. Right? It's not to the whatever you call your group. It's not. That is not the goal. Okay? The goal is the church.
Amen.
What is on the Lord's heart is the church.
Amen.
It's been on his heart from eternity.
Amen.
This is what he died for.
Amen.
It's what he chose you for.
Amen.
He wants the church.
Amen.
Okay, how about you? What are you for? You can say, I'm for preaching the gospel and being friends with all the kids on my campus and get them together and have Bible studies. That is way, way short. That is not God's goal. God's goal is he wants to build up the church.
Amen.
Right? How about you?
Amen.
We want to be here for the building up of the church.
Amen.
Okay. Well, practically, how do we build? We build by prophesying. If you don't even come to the Lord's Day meeting, you are not a builder. Right? Lord's Day mornings are crucial. This is where the building takes place. Okay? Even if you don't live close by a locality, I would endeavor any way possible, call an older brother or something, get me to the church meetings. Amen. I have to be a builder in the church. Okay? So here's what gets me. All right, first of all, if you want to prophesy, the meaning of the word prophesy is that you serve others. You're a waiter. So you have food, right? You come to the table, you serve food to people, right? You have to have food in order to serve food, okay? Where do you get this food? You get this food morning by morning, just like we're experiencing here this week. Day by day, you're eating, you're enjoying, you're being filled, you're reading the ministry, you're reading. How many of you have heard about this book called The Morning? What do you call it? The Holy Word for Morning Revival. How many have heard of that book before? Okay, I wonder sometimes, because sometimes college students I see in the church meetings don't even have one. Okay? And don't bother to buy one. Okay? How can you feed others if you don't have any food? You can't. How are you going to build? How are you going to come to a construction site if you don't have any material to build with? You need food. You need something to minister to others. And actually, the real more fine definition of the word prophesy is to speak for another. Okay, I can stand up Lord's Day morning and say, praise the Lord, saints, I've been thinking about this, praise the Lord, and just go on and on about my ideas, my opinions, and all kinds of stuff. You could say, that is not prophesying. Prophesying means you're speaking for someone else. Even the Lord Jesus said, I don't speak my own words. I speak the words that have been given to me from the Father. Okay, so what kind of words should you speak Lord's Day morning? You should speak the words from the Bible. You should speak the words that help open up the Bible that we read in the morning revival book, okay? That minister Christ to others. So, number one, if you're not reading the Word, you don't have any food, okay? And you don't have a portion. We don't really want to hear your good ideas and your opinions and all that. That doesn't build up. That doesn't encourage. We want to hear Christ, right? We want to hear something solid. We want to be fed, right? So you have to have some nourishing food. Okay, so how about this? What time is it? I got to watch my time. Okay, we only got about 10 minutes. How about this? Look at 1 Corinthians 14, real quick. Okay, I just have a burden. The prophesying here has been so enjoyable. Okay? But I just have a burden that prophesying wouldn't end at the college training.
That's right.
Right? But, you know, right here at the college training, it's not hard to get inspired. And it's not hard to be filled. We're all being filled. And you don't have to worry too much about content. You're filled with content. Right? You have a lot of riches to share. But when we all know when we get back in our daily life, you're not sitting in meetings like this all day long every day. Right? In your daily life, you're studying, you're going about your normal chores and daily living. It's not that easy. Okay, so what do we need to do? We need to learn how to build up some good habits so that we will have food to present to others. Okay, how do we do that? We need to read the Bible and read the morning revival, read the ministry of the Word, so that when we come normally, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, to me, this is very, very practical. Okay? For instance, you can say, I'm here for the building up of the church. But you stay up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock Saturday night. I'm sorry, you are not going to be for the building up of the church. You can't get out of bed. And if you do get out of bed, you're going to be so dead tired that when it comes time to minister food, you can't even hardly keep your eyes open. Okay? Practically, we need to consecrate ourselves practically. Lord, I'm for the building up of the church, so I'm going to go to bed so I can be living in the morning. I want to be for the building up of the church, so I'm going to read my Bible during the week, right? And I'm going to get a little portion of Christ day by day. If you think you can just come any Lord's Day, just sit in the meeting, and all of a sudden I'm going to just be inspired by the Spirit and stand up and share something, okay? That'll work sometimes. But generally, if you want to be a real builder, you have to get prepared. You got to get some material to build with. You need to labor a little bit. What you're doing Lord's Day morning depends on what you did Wednesday morning. Wednesday, you say, Wednesday, what's that? It's nothing. It's just a normal day by day. Okay? So we need to read the Word, build up a habit, come to the Lord in the morning, right? Get fed, get nourished, get inspired. And it might help jot down a little something that you got inspired by. And then Saturday, you might want to look it over from the week. What did you enjoy this week? Right? Maybe you enjoyed three or four things. You want to, how about pick one matter, one item? This is what I want to share. This is my point. Okay? You want to write it down. Maybe write it down, jot it down in your book. I was impressed by this. This is my point. And do you have any verse to back it up? Do you have any, where'd you get that point? Right? Do you have any word? Do you have any ministry to make it rich, to make it tasty, to make it enjoyable for the saints to eat and to be fed by? Okay? And then you come, you go to bed on time Saturday night so you can get up. And then you arrange your ride. You think you're not waiting till Sunday morning at 9:30 and start calling around. No, that doesn't work. Okay? Are you really for the building up of the church? Get practical. Amen. Go to bed on time. Figure out, hey, I need a ride in the morning. Right? How am I going to get to the church meeting? I want to go build. Okay? Then you come to the meeting. Okay, yes, you have an exercise spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit will inspire you. But when he inspires you, do you have anything concrete to share? Okay, the Bible says, we don't have time to read through. You got to read through 1 Corinthians 14 on your own. But listen, the Bible says we need to pray with our spirit. Amen. And we need to pray with our mind also. Amen. Let me show you one little thing. When I grew up, I went to a Catholic church. We sat back there. The priest was up here. Guess what? The priest was facing this way. And he was speaking. He would not only, look at, how are you going to communicate to men? You're not even facing the men. Okay? And not only that, you're not even speaking a language they can understand. Okay? So the Bible says, when you come to the church meeting, you're not speaking in tongues just to you and God. Oh. You're speaking to men. And you want to help encourage them. So you know one thing that helps? Can they understand what you're trying to say? Right? So if you stand up and say, praise the Lord, I'm predestinated and the New Jerusalem is my future. And, you know, I think we need a right spirit. And for a right spirit, we need to preach the gospel. And we need to really enjoy Christ, and, you know, maybe we'll be perfected when we get people together with us, and it's like, what is your point? You need to use your mind. Don't have 20 points. Share with us one point. Share the truth. Share something with your spirit, but with your mind also. And don't just share big highfalutin words. We explain them to the people who are there that they might understand what you're trying to say. Okay? And then you can encourage and console and really build up. Isn't it amazing? To me, it's so amazing. The Lord promised, I will build my church. But he included us to do it, to actually carry it out. Anyway. I would love to go through 1 Corinthians 14 with you, but I don't have time. But anyway, two brothers going to share something, how they're starting to learn how to prophesy practically. Where's Curtis and Christian?
Well, I'm Curtis. I'm from Wayne State University, Detroit, Michigan. And this past year, we just started learning how to prophesy. It's like we didn't have the daily word, morning daily word, but we set a schedule where we can go through Genesis 1, like the first 7 days. So we broke that down into like day one. We went through day one, day two, day three, day four, and day seven. But at the same time, the saints that were serving us, the local church, had explained to us what prophesying is. Prophesying in the Old Testament was like just speaking through visions, like having visions, speaking through it. But New Testament prophesying is like speaking forth God.
Amen.
Speaking forth God to the saints in the meeting and speaking forth God to others. So what we did, we have a Friday meeting, and then on the sisters would meet and go through like day one and during their small group time. The brothers would meet at day one and go through. And what we learn, when we get large group meeting on Friday, we share. We prophesy what we learn. We speak forth God because we learn about God that way. As a result of that, we had like two sisters get baptized as a result, you know, by the year, two sisters got baptized. And we had two other, like a sister and a brother, who were like quiet at first, you know. But then they learned how to prophesy. They kept growing and growing and prophesying in the fact. So that's just how God works. So.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's great. Christian?
Amen. Praise the Lord for prophesying. You know, what's the goal of prophesying? Right? The goal is to build up the body of Christ. Right? You know what? So, you know, when I was considering what to share, actually, you know, I had so many things in my mind. You know, as soon as I said that, you know, I put my name on there, I want to share something, my spirit eventually became unrest, and I was so eager and confused at the same time. But you know, when I brought this to the Lord, there's three points that He showed to me when I was going through the material on prophesying. You know, first we need to have the proper habit, right? You know, usually prophesying is not something you know we all of a sudden know how to do. You know, we can easily start by having a companion, right? This is something very simple, very easy. Not very easy, but simple. We can start with that, right? We can just you know call a brother or call a sister, and just tell them, you know, I just enjoyed John 1:1. Right in the beginning was the word, right? It can just be very simple and just enjoy something and just share it with them. And eventually, you know, as you progress, right, you can start to, it's kind of like a progressive building block. From companionship, you can do in vital groups, and eventually becomes home meetings, and then in the college meetings, and eventually in the Lord's table meeting. So if you're not a person that can, you know, speak right away, or really have uncomfortable feeling of, you know, just prophesying in front of people, this is the best way to start building up from the bottom. Now, from the second point that the Lord kind of touched me on is really, you know, try to be acceptable to making mistakes. You know, one of the things that I've learned from prophesying is that, you know, sure, I may not be perfect, but the best time to make mistakes is when you're young, especially when you're in college, especially, you know, for me, I remember many times when I would prophesy things. You know, the saints would just say amen, but at the end of the meeting, they will pull me aside and say, you know, brother, maybe, you know, you could have taken a different approach. I mean, it's not wrong, it's not right, it's not bad, but, you know, maybe you can improve on it a little bit. So, you know, but these small things, right, it really builds up, because then it shows us that, you know, we're at least practicing and we're speaking out.
Amen.
And the third point that the Lord really touched me on is really to just practice. Right? You know, no one can be perfect. No one can be a superstar without having to go through all those training. Right? And this is also part of our perfecting and training life. You know, we need to be those that are, you know, be willing to go up to, especially during the Lord's table meeting. That's the best place to practice. Right? You know, if even if you don't know what to say, just stand up and, you know, just pray to the Lord, and he'll give you something to say. Satan's strategy for, especially for the young people, is that, you know, he will tell you that, you know, you have nothing to say, or what you say won't make sense. So you might as well just stay in your seat and just sit there. And you know what happens is that sometimes we get this very fast heartbeat kind of feeling. And you know, no matter how hard we try, it beats even faster, especially when the prophesying time is almost ending. But you know, what do we do? Do we let Satan win, or do we let the Lord just flow out? And usually, this is the Lord's way of just knocking inside of us. He said, you know, Lord wants to really speak out of us, but until we open ourselves up to Him, you know, He can't really flow out. So I just want to encourage, you know, all the college saints and even the older ones to just really just be, you know, just practice and just be in the flow.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So I agree with the brothers. We're not trying to be the best speakers. We're not trying to put on a show. In fact, this chapter follows chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, which is a chapter on love. So we talked about this morning. We should have a right spirit. And we should have a heart of love. Okay? Why should we prophesy to men? It's so that we should do this with the right spirit, but also with a heart of love to the saints, right? Even this chapter 14 talks about to the unlearned, to the unbelievers, right? Even to the fellow believers. We're here to encourage one another, to console one another. So whether you get all the words perfectly right, all those things, no, we're all practicing, we're all learning. But let me just run down a few words here. Paul tells us we should pursue. We should pursue this. Right? We should desire earnestly, right, that we could prophesy. You consider this. Do you desire earnestly to build up the church by prophesying? Okay, we should seek to excel. Right? Anyway, I think y'all getting the picture, and I think maybe it's not the first time you've heard this, but my main burden is that we would see, yes, we need to sow the seeds on our campus, preach the gospel, and then we need to follow up on people and nourish them, and we need to gather them in the groups. It's all true. But if you stop here, you are totally missing the goal. The goal is, what does the Lord desire is the building up of the church. And that takes place in the Lord's Day morning meetings. Okay? If you're missing the Lord's Day morning meetings, you are missing God's goal. Right? God's goal is to build up the church. And He does this when we gather together and we prophesy and minister Christ to one another. Amen. With a right spirit, amen, with a heart of love, amen, to encourage others, console them, and to build them up. Amen. Okay, I'm going to stop here. I'm sure you all have much to say about this.